Hello, and welcome to the Revealing Truth Ministries Wesley Chapel podcast. I'm Pastor Benjamin Smith, and I would like to invite you to come along with me on a journey. A journey through the Word of God where we will discover the truth that will change and enrich your life for the better. So what do you say? Will you join me on this journey? Yeah? Fantastic. Let's get started.
Family, before we pray today, I want to give you an understanding of what we're going to do. Today, we're going to be joined by some of our middle schoolers and high schoolers. Remember when we talked about part of our rebuilding who we are, this Christian community that we have here? Children have to be a part. We have to rebuild them too. We can't rebuild our lives and assume that the young people are just there as an extra accessory. Well, we're going to hear from them today. And what we're going to hear resulted from two sessions that I had with them, and the sessions were the people that helped me facilitate it was Miss Michelle. Wave at me, Miss Michelle. She's going to help me also today. And Brittany, where are you, Brittany? And Brittany also helped as well. Stand up, Brittany, so they can see you. Yes, yes. With that being said, just realize when they speak, even though they're giving responses, it's very applicable to us as adults. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for each and every person here. We never take it for granted, this opportunity that we have to come and minister together. I pray that you give me your inner wisdom to speak life into each and every person, and that everybody under the sound of our collective voices get something out of the message today that they can use and make their lives better. God, not just years from now or months from now or weeks from now, not even days from now, but they will be able to use this message and make their lives better immediately. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And you know we like to do our Bible confession. I'm going to ask Miss Zoe. Where's Miss Zoe? Miss Zoe, come up here and do our Bible confession for us. Give God some praise for her. I'm going to give her the mic that has no color on it. So give him a test, 1, 2. Make sure it's...
Test.
All right. You can read on the screen. You don't want to be that close?
They got to repeat after me.
However you want to do it.
Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I can be what it says I can be.
I can be what it says I can be.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
Every verse is God-breathed.
Every verse is God-breathed.
And I aim to live by every word.
And I aim to live by every word.
It is essential to my faith foundation.
It is essential to my faith foundation.
And works to change me from the inside out.
And works to change me from the inside out.
Into the person God created me to be.
Into the person God created me to be.
That is why I shall never let it go.
That is why I shall never let it go.
It is reliable.
It is reliable.
It is the truth.
It is the truth.
It is divine.
It is divine.
It is the word of God.
It is the word of God.
And shall ever be to me.
And shall forever be to me.
My Bible.
My Bible.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Give God some praise. Your first image for today says mirror, mirror. And what Mirror Mirror is about is it's the topic of discussion that our youth have been grappling with. Mirror Mirror effectively says this. In everything that people will tell you you are and who you're supposed to be, the true mirror of who you are and who you've been designed to be is the Bible. When you look in those pages And the Bible tells you your precious life. The Bible tells you that you're chosen. The Bible tells you that you're blessed. The Bible tells you that you have a right to prosper. The Bible tells you that you are beautiful on the inside. All of those things, those are the reflections that you should use to measure yourself by, not what anybody else tells you. Mirror, mirror. And in going through mirror, mirror, we begin to ask them some questions and get their insight. Specifically, well, you know, first of all, we don't apologize for stuff like that, right? We just make sure that our phone's off. Things happen. There is no condemnation here. Your phone rang. At least it wasn't ghetto booty drop down music. So at least we making progress, right? We making progress, right? We're good, okay? Right? We're good, okay. So we have them, I want you to imagine, and they're gonna, shortly they're gonna join us here up on for a panel discussion. I want you to imagine them in a room and we're asking them questions. And the questions that we ask them in particular, Miss Michelle is going to unveil those questions to you. But for right now, I just wanted to give you a preview of what Mirror Mirror is about and the context of what they've been having their discussions around. At this time, I'm going to step back and Miss Michelle is going to begin to guide you towards the questions. Go ahead, Miss Michelle.
Just one second.
You can go to the next image. Yes, ma'am.
So the general overall questions and the thought process are as follows. God calls us to do many wonderful things in life, but what are some of the reasons you can think of as to why people do not answer God's call, or do not want to answer his call, or fail to act on his instructions, or refuse to accept the assignment, etc.? Please back your answers up with real life. We ask them to back their answers up with real life examples and scenarios that they were comfortable with sharing. Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do now is we didn't just have this discussion based on nothing, we based it around the word of God. The first discussion point was Moses in the book of Exodus, where God calls Moses and then Moses has a discussion with God. I'm gonna ask, go to the next slide, please. I'm gonna ask Alexis to join me here. And she's going to read the Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Come on up here with me. We're going to get her a microphone. Thank you. Read Exodus 3 for me. Read that. Yes, the whole thing.
So now I send you to Pharaoh. Go lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, I am not a great man. So how can I be the one to go to Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of Egypt?
Okay, now you're going to walk with me. Come on. Just come on. Right. Hand in hand. We're going to walk. I want you to notice something, what she's reading. That first line, we have it highlighted there on the monitor, the word go. God is given a call. Verse 11, Moses begins to speak. And he begins to give reasons why he can't answer the call. He says, I am not a great man, but for us as adults, it stops at I am not. I am not good at that. I am not smart enough for that. I am not the right size, the right height for that. I don't have the education for that. All of those I am nots, realizing that we know God already knew who you were before he called you. So you don't have to give God any nots, because if your not was a reason that God didn't want you, he wouldn't have called you in the first place. How can I be the one? How can God use me? How can God possibly use someone like me? These are the discussions that we're having with your youth. Getting them to the point to where we have a real in-depth discussion about why is it that people do not answer God's call? Why do they think they're not able to answer God's call? And for those of you who are wondering why she's walking with me, she's walking with me because, once again, this is part of development. Get our young people to, it doesn't matter that I'm in front of a crowd and that they're looking at me, because the greater one's on the inside of me. It doesn't matter how many people are out there supporting me. If I have one or two, if my parents support me, I can go forward. If I got friends supporting me, I can go forward. I can stand in the authority that God has given me no matter where I'm in.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It's development. And guess what? Just like I'm with her, God's always with us.
Yes.
Every step of the way. The Bible tells us that the Lord is our shepherd.
Yes.
He walks with us.
Yes.
He never leaves us. Isaiah says that I can try to escape you at the speed of light. And when I get to my destination, you already there. It's okay that she gets comfortable while holding the hand of someone who cares.
Yeah. Yes.
Every one of us who's a parent, who's a guardian, who's a teacher, who's a coach, that's your role. That's your role, to be with them while they get comfortable. Sometimes we ask young people to do something that we ourselves are uncomfortable with doing. You know, like I know, that you like someone to hold your hand when you're doing something new. But we seem to think that they don't need the same thing when, in fact, they need it more than you do. When she's here with me, she's not, her hand's not shaking on my arm. She's solid. She's stable. She doesn't really, well, I don't know if you don't mind, but she don't really mind per se how many people looking at her are not necessarily supporting her, because she knows the person closest to her supports her. As far as answering the call, what Alexis has told us is that God has called Moses, but Moses is thinking of every reason under the sun as to why he is not going to answer the call. He's digging up excuses. Now for Exodus 4, thank you very much. Give God some praise for her. For Exodus 4, we have Mrs. Zaysha. Go ahead. Who needs to stop growing, because you're now you're even more taller than me.
Then Moses said to God, "But the Israelites will not believe me when I tell them that you sent me. They will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Then Moses said to the Lord, "But Lord, I am telling you, I'm not a good speaker. I've never been able to speak well, and that hasn't changed since you started talking to me. I'm still not a good speaker. You know that I speak slowly and I don't use the best words." But Moses said, "My Lord, I beg you to send someone else, not me."
Now, Miss Michelle is going to stand with Azaysha and just give some additional commentary here.
So, Azaysha, I have a question for you. So, based on what you've heard so far in our lessons about what God says about you, how you're chosen, how you're called, how you're anointed, how you're appointed, all these wonderful things, what made you come to the realization of God truly saying that I'm chosen? When did you have that moment, that aha moment, that I am chosen? After all, no matter what I face in this life, that I am chosen.
I think that moment comes when it comes after the fact, when you've been through something and you realize, like, well, I actually am okay. When you're praying through it, and you know everyone says you still have to have faith when you're going through the storm or you're going through something bad, you still have faith. And still having that faith, it doesn't feel good. But once you're like you're done with it and you wake up one day and you realize like I've been okay for the past few days, I'm okay. And when it comes again, you know at some point you're gonna be okay. So I think that's my answer.
That's a good answer.
That's a good answer. Give her a hand. Amen.
And that answer mm-hmm. was given to a question she had no idea was coming. That's an example of understanding that even though you may not think that what you're putting inside of your child is sinking in, keep putting it in.
Amen.
Now, we know her, what she gets put inside of her. We know Miss Daryl, we know her girls. But yet and still, the depth of her response, that you know once you've gone through something, that's something some adults don't realize. Let me give you an example. There are some adults who think that they're a failure, but the reality is, in all you've gone through, you're still standing. What the enemy is trying to get you to look past is, yes, it's been hard. Yes, it's been difficult. Yes, you've cried a lot. But when the sun came up, you were still standing. We used to hear it like this in this ministry. You may not can stop bad things from coming, but sometimes your success comes by just outlasting the devil. Sometimes your success come by just making sure you're the one that's still standing. Even if you're in tears, you're still standing. Even if your knees buckle, you didn't fall. Even if you fall, you got up. Sometimes it's just needs to, it's not about the dog in the fight. It's about the fight in the dog. She says, sometimes you don't know until after you've gone through, and then you look back. Take us back to that question. Because now we're going to ask certain young people to come to the stage, and we're going to start going through some of their responses. By the way, when I call your name, if you are comfortable, please come forward and take a seat. If you are not, love you still. No pressure. Alexis, Serena, Victoria, Zoe, Zaria, Azacia. Give God some praise for them. Now, while they're taking their seat, I want you to go to their response slide. What I have in my hand are papers. And you see this stack of papers? What each one of them did was, and I'm going to give you this one. Oh, you have it already? You have it. What each one of them did was they did an exercise. They had squares of paper. And those squares of paper were blank when they got them. And what I asked is, give me some reasons why a person would use, what excuse a person would use to not answer God's call. Give me a reason why a person would not answer God's call. Just there's no wrong answers. I want to know from your heart. And they gave me answer after answer after answer. We're going to go through some of those and hear from them. And we're going to extract out of that for us wisdom. Amen. We're going to start with that one that says procrastinate. And that's Miss Victoria. Miss Victoria, please stand to your feet. And by the way, you know, we definitely support them and their responses.
Yes,
but I've said it already, but I want to make sure you get it. They are standing before us. It's part of not just making sure that they get the word of God on the inside, but building their confidence to stand physically and spiritually. Stand. If God's going to use them from great things, the Bible says that your gift will bring you before great men. If they're going to do great things, they need to get used to being the center of attention. If they're going to do great things, they need to get used to all eyes being on you. And we build that confidence. Today, this venue. Tomorrow, thousands. Tomorrow after that, tens of thousands. Amen. And every step of the way, confidence grows. But you said procrastinate. And a lot of adults do that too.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So tell them what you mean by procrastinate as far as why people don't answer God's call. Go ahead.
Well, some things for me is that when I know I need to get it done, that it'll benefit me, I like wait till like the very last minute. And that like it like ruins things for me. Like, especially with my grades, like, it'll like bring them down. Even though I'm like an A, B student, I just I'll get like this little funk and like not do anything, and it's not beneficial to me or anybody around me. So like, that's why I put procrastination.
Now, I want you to listen closely to what she said. She says, I'm an AB student. She knows there's greatness on the inside of her. But then she follows that up with saying, but because I procrastinate, that results in actions or non-actions that bring her grades down. If that's not an adult walking, I don't know what is. How many things in your life have you procrastinated on? And because you procrastinated, you got half the effect that you had hoped for. Or you got a piece of the result. Or you even didn't get the result and you blamed everything else except the fact that you waited too long and you procrastinated and you didn't get it done. That happens, that could be a project. Guess what? That can be in relationships. There is a scripture, I believe it's in, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'll say what I think it is, and then I'll let you know what it is. But, and I forget the translation, but it's, let me not say a chapter, a book, but it says something like this, that make the change that you know you should make before it's too late. And it's a relationship thing. I got to find that now. Make a note. While they talk, I'm going to find that. But the bottom line is, sometimes when we're engaged with people, we know that the relationship is not what it's supposed to be. But instead of dealing with it and healing it quickly, we let it continue. And at some point in time, it may get to the point to where there is no healing it. The time to heal it is when it can be healed. Procrastination. And some people do not answer the call of God because they procrastinate. I'll do it tomorrow. God says, start the business. I'll do it tomorrow. God says, go into that part of ministry. I'll do it tomorrow. God says, go get that education. I'll do it tomorrow. Procrastination, procrastination, procrastination. And before you know it, what you put off for tomorrow, you put off for a year. And then you put off for 2 years. And now it's a decade down the road because you procrastinated. That's an excellent example. Thank you. Give God some praise for her. The next one, this is going to be Miss Azacia. She's the one that put worldly opinions or advice as the reason somebody might not answer God's call. Go ahead. Yeah, I have her paper.
Yes, please.
Her paper right here. You're welcome. So tell us, Mrs. Asia, when you say worldly opinions or advice, what you mean? Oh, she got it now. She only needs a hint that she's gone.
So what I meant by that is, you know, like when you're in the stage of life where you're trying to figure out what you're going to do and like where you're going to go, there will be a lot of people who have advice for you. They have things that they would do if they were you. They have things that they think that you should do. And sometimes it's actually good information, and sometimes it doesn't line up with your passions. So it kind of makes you feel like you're getting into the wrong thing, or you're not really called to do what God wants you to do because of the like tainted advice that you're getting. Mm. The advice that's not really coming from the right place. It's coming from, oh, I wish I would have done this when I was your age. Amen. It's coming from like not the place of really having your own best interest at heart. So that can really confuse you and make you feel like you're doing the wrong thing and not really set you up for success.
Amen.
Yes. People telling you what you should do. If I was you, that's how they started. The fact that they is not you. If I was you, the most concerning part about that statement, if I was you, is they're not going to have to live through the result of what they tell you to do. Azacia is 100% correct. It might be good advice. But before you take some if I was you advice, make sure you consider it closely. Consider the ripple effect of the advice. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we could take the advice and run with it without cognitively taking the moment to think about what does this mean down the road for me? Worldly opinions or advice is something that can keep a person from answering the call of God on their life. Did God really call you to do that?
Right. Amen.
A question. That sounds like what the serpent said to Eve to me. Mm-hmm. Did God really say? Did he really say you would do that? Did he really say your family is going to be that? Did he really say you're going to get that education? Did he really say you're going to have that business? Did he really say that? Did he really say that? Just seeding in little pieces of question marks that cause you to hesitate on what God has called you to do. Thank you very much. Miss Serena, I believe you had always doubting myself, correct? I think that was you. Pass her, she has a microphone. So always doubting yourself. And by the way, she stands before you with no knee brace on anymore. Have you noticed that? I've been watching the women basketball tournament and see you in there one day slamming on somebody. If you want to go that way, I'm just saying. If you want to go that way. Always doubting myself. Explain that for us.
So
when I put always doubting myself, is because I tend to worry a lot about, like, what might happen, because I feel like that I'm not as advanced as others are, or that I'm not what I should be, because I just feel like that I'm always going to fail or not reach others' expectations of me.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or of myself, because it's kind of hard when growing up, you always, when people are always saying that, oh, you go do this, oh, you go do that, because of your appearance or what they think you're going to do in life. And then when it's time to do it and you feel like that you let them down, people just going to be, you know, because it's kind of hard to do what you want to do, but at the same time, try not to let others down, because they've been by your side the whole time, and they see what you could do with just with them, but then when it's time to get out there a bunch with other people around, it's just, it's kind of nerve-wracking a little bit, because you see all these other people doing better or doing, like, yeah, excelling more than you, and trying to do that and also trying to be true to yourself is kind of hard, especially with my dad. because my dad, Dad, I love you. Thank you. Because he's always been with me, and I keep doubting myself, but he's always there telling me, just don't limit yourself and don't give up so easily without even trying first. Mm-hmm. Because, to be honest, without him, I probably wouldn't have tried basketball at all. Mm. Because, I know it's kind of weird, but like at first, when I was young, I actually wanted to do soccer. But then I kind of lost the passion of it because of other people, especially with the boys and being the tallest. It just wasn't really it for me. And then my dad was like, you know, why not basketball? I'm like, oh. I don't know about that, because, like, I really did not love the run at all. But, like, with soccer, that's all you're ever doing is running. So, like, especially because he said that running is the foundation of every sport. So, and plus, I'm like, you know what, why not? And then I wanted to start in sixth grade, but, like, it was my first year in middle school, and I didn't know how it was going to be. So I'm like, you know, let me just, you know, see how middle school is at first and then do it. And then COVID hit, and then I think I actually started playing in eighth grade. I was not good at all. I was bad. And then... But my dad has always been by my side and always pushing me to do my best, especially with working out and consistency. He's always there by my side, always telling me that I'm not going to push you, but because you have to do that on your own. I mean, I'll be by your side, and I'll push you sometimes, but at the same time, I'm not going to force you if you don't want to do it. And I'm just grateful for you, you, Dad. Because without him, I probably wouldn't have done a lot of things because of my comfort zone. Because if you guys knew me, like, when I was little, I would not talk at all. Like, I would just be with my sister all the time. So, you know, he's the reason why I'm who I am. So.
Wow. I'm not going to add much to that. I'll only say a couple of things she said about doubting herself. Sometimes we don't answer the call of God because even though God sees great things in us, we doubt ourselves. Thank you. Miss Alexis, She began her response with, "They think God is wrong." And so, read your response, Alexis, and give us some your commentary there. Oh, is it? Give her one of those. How's that one?
Hello? Yes. They think that God is wrong, and they think that there's a better way. They think that they can do it, like, by themselves. They think that they're, like, old enough to do it by themselves. They think there's, like, a fork in the road, like God's way and then theirs way. But it's actually not theirs way. It's actually the enemy's way.
Now, what I want you to do, you see the one where you said they think God is wrong, they think there's a better way? Read that example that you wrote down on yours.
Okay, so my example was my mom told me to put my hand a certain way while I was cooking, and I did it another way, and I burnt myself.
And go through the other one.
I was skating really, really fast, and she told me to stop, and I tried to stop, and I kept going, and I fell, and I scraped my knee, and I have a scar for, like, life.
The reason I picked that example for her is a couple of reasons. One, they think God is wrong. And they think there is a better way. We have so many testimonies of people saying stuff like, my mama and my grandma was praying for me because I did some of everything. I grew up in church, but effectively I fell off the wagon. Wouldn't it be great if we could raise a generation that didn't have to go through to get there? That was confident that God's way is the way from the jump, instead of having to go through. You don't have to fall down to learn that lesson. You don't have to go through the hard time to learn the lesson. Granted, hard times in life will come, but you don't have to go through that hard time if someone's there to give you good, solid advice and you just listen to the advice. Every parent knows that their desire is, to the best of their ability, to help guide their children through the pitfalls that they've seen in life. Does every child accept that advice? No. I'm a parent. Sometimes you see them going down that road and you're, at first, you're holding them back. Then they get older. Then you're waving them back. And then they get even older and you're yelling, you're going the wrong way. And at some point, you need to trust your training. But embedded in her answer is another small part that I want us to focus on. She said she scraped her knee and now she has a scar. She did say for life, didn't she? She threw that in there. Threw the life in there. She has a mark that is a constant reminder. And there is a certain topic that came up in our discussion in class that made that really relevant. Here it is. Sometimes your actions result in a scar, and that scar then becomes an excuse not to try again. The last time I tried to do what God called me to do, this happened. The scar becomes an excuse. And because that scar is a permanent part of you, that excuse is always with you. But here's the other part. Because, and Miss Zaria, if you would. No, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. She knocked it out of the park in class. She'll knock it out of the park again this time. I'm confident in her.
Yes. Amen. We all are. Amen.
I'm confident.
Amen.
Yeah, we can clap. We don't even have to clap. I'm confident in her.
Yes.
Hey, it's too late now because I've seen it. If I never heard her talk before, it'd be different. But, oh, I've seen it. I've heard it.
Yes.
I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen it. I know what's inside of her. So whether or not she show it right now, it's in there. But it got us on the topic of talking about the mistakes we make. And that, do you remember in the book of Exodus where God first told Moses to go? Alexis reading it. And it said, Moses said to God. But Moses said to God, do you know, it's not always what we say to God. A lot of times what we say to ourselves. And I was looking for a phrase, and Zaria gave me the phrase. And that phrase was, sometimes we beat ourselves up. Do you remember that? Can you just share a little bit about what you were thinking when you say sometimes we beat ourselves up?
Okay, so sometimes when we do things and we do things wrong and things just seem not to work out, sometimes, and then God tells us to do something different, and we're just like, no, I don't want to do that because remember last time this happened and I can't do that again, I can't do it, just telling ourselves that we can't do something. And when we tell ourselves we can't do something, then honestly, that's like the end of it, like right there. Like you're like, oh, I can't do that. I'm not doing it. So it's like, you don't do it, and it just doesn't get done. So you're beating yourself up over and over again about something God has already forgiven you for. So,
that's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the other part of the discussion, and you can feel free to add to this if you want, otherwise I can take over. But the other part of the discussion is what makes that so tragic is that it's you talking to you.
Yeah.
And you can't escape you. In the restaurant, you with you. In the bathtub, you with you. In the car, you with you. In school, you're with you. And so if you want to talk about it, you can, but just about how it's terrible because it's always something that's going through your mind. Every time, everything you try, you're talking to yourself, just talking yourself out of it, talking yourself down. You want to add anything to that?
You want me to use an example for me?
Ooh, if you have one, sure.
All right.
But if you don't, that's okay. But if you have an example, sure.
Okay, so, all right. I was doing it was kind of a test for to be a lifeguard, right? So,
oh.
Yeah, this past year, in high school, in high school, I haven't been, very,
very physically active like I was in middle school. So, like, kind of, like, my endurance in, like, sports and stuff and, like, anything when I'm doing anything is going down, down, down. And when I get home, I don't do anything either. And I've just been, like, So then I went and did, I tried to do the swim test or whatever, and, like, it didn't work because, like I said, I have not been, I mean, I know how to swim. I know how to swim very well. But I went to do the test, and I could do it. Like, we had to do, the hardest part for me was only the 12 laps. We had to do 12 laps back and forth, like, in the pool or whatever. But I couldn't do 12, like, consecutively. Like, you couldn't stop. Like, you couldn't, like, none of that. I couldn't do 12, so I only did, like 3 or 4. Like, I couldn't make 12. So then I'm telling myself, nah, I can't. But the thing is, I was very excited about this. Like, before, I'm like, yeah, like, I want to do this and all of that. But then I got to telling myself that I can't do it because, like, I haven't been active. Like, of course I can't do it. Like, the world, the rules say I can't do it because I just haven't been. I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. So it's like, I haven't been, like, I wasn't including God in none of that. Like, to be honest, I wasn't. I was more of leaning on my own understanding and my own.
Come on. Yes.
Like, my own understanding of life and everything and not including God in it. And I just let it go for myself. I told myself that I couldn't do it, and I didn't do it. So, yeah, we are our worst. Like, yeah, if you tell yourself you can't do it, you'll quit. And not, and when you're not including God too, it's not going to happen. Like, yeah.
Thank you for that example. If you tell yourself you can't do it, you won't do it. Are you learning anything? Somebody said the same thing as adults. Correct. Correct. And following this discussion, what I wanted every single one of our youth to realize is that when you go through things in life where you get a scar, where you feel like you can't make it, where you have that voice inside your head that you can't get away from that's telling you that you can't because of what happened last time, you are not your mistake. You're not your mistake. Before your mistake, you were blessed. After your mistake, you're blessed. Before your mistake, God called you beautiful. God called you victorious. God called you wonderful. And after your mistake, God calls you beautiful. God calls you victorious. God calls you wonderful. Your mistake does not define you. Your mistake happened to you. That your mistake is not you. Your mistake is not you. And I say that to each and every adult listening. Amen. You are not your mistake.
Yes. Amen.
That error does not determine who you are. Mirror, mirror, you are who God says you are. We have Miss Serena. Not being consistent. Yes, not being consistent. got two more.
Yeah, not being consistent. Okay. Can I do an example?
Yeah, you can do an example. I remember what you talked about. Yeah, go ahead and give your example. Examples work.
Okay, so like last week, I think, yeah. So last week, me and my dad, we work out and go to the gym, either the Y or Anytime, something like that. And I think that was, like, the first week I've ever actually gone to the gym, like, every day of the week, except for, like, Friday and them because I had to go out of town. But I still worked out the activities there. So I think that was, like, the first week I, like, ever, like, actually been to the gym consistently. Yeah. And doing that and then doing this week, I've fallen off. I went back to my old habits because any high school student or middle school student, stuff like that, you tend to, you know, stay up past like 2 a.m. something like sometimes. or go to bed at like or like at 10, something like that. It varies. especially if you like had homework or have after school activities or just playing on your phone and just lost track of time. But for me, especially doing basketball, stuff like that, and then now doing physical training with my knee, my habits were is that I wake up at like 6 something in the morning because of my little sister. So I already have to wake up early and then go to school for like 7 hours and then come back home. And that drains you. So I tend to fall asleep as soon as I come home. And that take like 3 hours. And then I'll wake up and then knowing I have to do all my chores and then all my homework and then get myself ready and for bread and stuff like that. And that takes time, especially with me, because I take a lot of time to do stuff. So, and that would tend, like the time we usually end like at 12 a.m. or something like that. And then having to repeat that cycle, it's not healthy, stuff like that. And my dad told me, instead of going straight to sleep, when you come home, stay up. So that way you have plenty of energy to, not energy, but like, you know, that way you won't, you know, yeah, you won't go to sleep later. Because, to be honest, I'm gonna need some coffee or something. Because that's how bad it was. Because, yeah, but like, back to my consistency thing. Being consistent is even like, I don't know, you get caught up with distractions and then get used to what you used to do and then start changing it. But change sometimes can be hard. And with doing like hard decisions, you know, because what you used to do was easy for you, but at the same time, not good for you. But sometimes you tend to just own up to it and just accept it, but at the same time, you gotta realize that if you do this change, it will help you in the future, or it will benefit you. Even if that's changing your diet, or just, you know, waking up at a certain time, or just doing your homework, you know, at a certain time, instead of doing it late at night. And with me, being consistent is kind of hard. Because at one moment, I'm like, yeah, we do this. But at the moment, I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm just going to sit here and just go to sleep. And plus, with my sleep schedule, it's just bad. Because I sleep a lot. I guess about a lot. And but at the same time, I don't feel energized. So that's what kind of comes in. Because the reason why I used to sleep when I come straight home, because I know if I stayed up, especially with the energy I have, I wouldn't be able to, like, do my homework, effectively, because it would just be, like, slurs and stuff like that, because my brain, like, anyways, but, yeah, just being consistent can be hard, and it can be challenging, because it's nothing,
it's not going to be easy because, you know, doing something that will help you in the outcome can also be challenging at the same time.
That's good. Well,
amen.
When she gave her example, what that drew in the conversation that is applicable to us as adults is lack of discipline.
Yes.
There are times that you don't answer God's call, not because you're not capable, but you lack the discipline to do the steps necessary. Success, you don't take the elevator to success. You got to take the stairs. Listen to her words. Even talking about, and I know that hit a lot of people when she said going to the gym. I heard people go, And you know what's so quirky about that to me? Adults will say, you only get one body. But them same adults will not do what's necessary to take care of the one body they say they have. They lack discipline. She talk about not doing her homework in school. A lot of us lack discipline at work. Projects don't get turned in on time. You going to college, got to ask your professor for an extension when you had the syllabus at the beginning of the year. Because you lack discipline. You went to the beach, you went on that cruise, you did something else, and you should have took them books with you. But you say, I do it when I get back. You lack discipline. And you wonder why you didn't get that grade you thought you should get, because that teacher could smell that you get that thing last minute. You got it off of AI. She could tell. He could tell. You lack discipline. Ms. Zoe, you said that people don't answer the call of God because the way you wrote it was, this generation and its requirements, people's way of living. Break that down for everybody.
Okay, this generation.
Isn't that funny? She's so young. This generation.
No. Woo! Okay, so like at school, basically, I'm talking about at school. Like the people at school, it's my first year in middle school and it's way different. Sometimes they'll tell you to do this, and then you don't do it, and then they'll be like, oh, you're such and such or such and such. That stops me from doing what God calls me to do. And we were talking about, like, why we are not chosen, and that's one reason why I felt like I wasn't chosen, because now, like, people now, like, at our school and stuff, like, they think that you should do one thing, but that's not really what God wants them to do. They don't have a relationship with God like me. You don't have to go to church to believe in God, but they don't. So it's like it's hard sometimes, but I know what I need to do at school. Amen. So it's just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna stay where I need to be so that I can do what I need to do, and then you'll do what you need to do.
Amen.
And like, it's like other people's opinions also can mess, like, what, like, say if you think something that you, I'm not saying this happened to me, but, like, if you have something that you have on and it's not designer or it's not the best shoes or the shoes that just came out, oh, you'll be like, the people be like, oh, well, my mama got me these shoes or my dad got me these shoes. But it's just, it comes with a lot of requirements. Well, it.
That's the right word.
Yeah, requirements. That's the right word. For you to do this, it's like you have to do this because somebody else is doing it.
Right.
But that's not what I'm gonna do because Amen. That's not what I want to do.
Right. Amen.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Let me. And when she started talking about that, the topic is this: trying to fit in. People's opinions trying to guide you a certain way. But I love what she said, but I know who I am.
Yes. Amen.
And she gave y'all a snippet, but make no bones about it. She made it clear. It's hard. Because everybody, and you know, it might not be everybody, but hundreds of other students are trying to get you to do something different. When you know in your heart that is not what God wants you to do. But you go and see them people at least 5 days a week for like 7 hours at a time. In the hallway, they trying to get you to do something different. In the lunchroom, trying to get you to do something different. She said it's hard. Hard. We know as adults what peer pressure can do. At work? There are times that people do not answer the call of God in their life because they're trying to answer the call of others instead of answering God's call. And people, the enemy, they do not make it easy. And we think about, well, it's just middle school. But she made sure that she unless your pastor knows it's hard. You can call it middle school, but she's in the middle of it in school. It's hard. She even gave you a glimpse of even what you wear, and that's always been the case. I grew up, forget non-designer. I grew up, I don't know what you call it. And my wife always tell me, Pastor Greta always say, because her mom made a lot of their clothes. So she's an excellent seamstress, but it didn't have Jordache on the jeans or on the pants. Or it didn't have the whatever the design of labor was. It looked great. But you all have been young before. You know how children can be. And she said in front of all of us, and when they did this in class, we're in class, and they have to come to the center and express what they put on their card. And she said, it's hard. Dealing with people's opinions, worldly advice, and their requirements. It's hard. And the final one, we're back to Miss Victoria. It fits in well with what she just, what Zoe just talked about. You said sometimes people don't answer the call of God because of friendships. Well, break that down for them.
So, there's this one girl that I was friends with her for like 4 years, and we still talk, but it's like, it's not the same. Because some things like happen, like when she needed to talk to me, I tried to be there, cause like I'm very empathetic and I really try to be there for everybody, and she didn't accept what I can give, and
it drained me a lot. And my family started noticing, like, I wasn't smiling as much and stuff because I felt like I wasn't good enough to support. Because I love my friends, and, like, it hurts me when I can't help them. And I'm not, like, so, like, I would help her, and she, like, started arguing with me because I didn't say the right thing. And I've never really been good at communication and stuff like that. When it comes to talking, it usually always ends in an argument, and that's not my intention. So, you know, coming from a, like, that happening from a friend was, like, it was just, like, eye-opening. And so I couldn't help her, and me not being able to help her, I couldn't talk to her. Like, every time I needed to come to her, she said I could talk to her, but every time I tried, she would, like, flip it around, and she'll, like, make it about herself. Like, she'll act like the victim about everything, every conversation. She would turn into an argument. Like, she started the argument, and then she'll make me feel bad. She's very manipulative, and I'm very, like, I'm not gullible, but I'm too forgiving. So, you know, she would make me feel some type of way, and I wouldn't be myself. And then she'll come around, I'd be like, oh, it's okay, but it's not. It really isn't. So when I needed to talk to her, she would just make me feel bad. And there were certain things that she would do that it wasn't me. I couldn't do it. And she would get mad. And, like, it's not just me. She did this with my other friend. Like, because we didn't want to do this or do that, because we felt like it wasn't for us, or we're not old enough. We wanted to wait and stuff, or we just didn't want to do it at all. She would get upset. She's like, oh, so all of a sudden you didn't want to do this? It's like, I never did. And she's like, oh, so you think you're better than me now? Oh, I was like, no, I just don't want to do it. I mean, I stopped giving my opinion on everything with her because she would make me feel bad because I didn't want to do certain things. And so, yeah, it's just, I'm not even sure if we're friends anymore because, like, we've been friends for a really, really long time, and I really do care about her, so it hurts because I'm not good at letting go. So it hurts that I might have to. And it's very hard, too, because I have a lot of classes with her, and, like, especially in, like, middle school, it's, like, it's messy. And she knows a lot of people. I know them too, but she's closer with them. And like I said, she's manipulative. So, you know, and this one girl, she thinks that she tried, like, okay, I'm rambling, but, like, it's just, I hate that some of my friends, like, I'll do anything for them, and they can't even sit down and listen to what I have to say. And this one girl, she's like the best friend I've ever had. She told me that you need to stop giving your all to people who don't even feel comfortable saying hi to you in the hallway. And I was like, yeah. So it's taken me a while to, like, figure out what I can and cannot say to her. And I might have to let her go. And it hurts because she was my first friend in middle school. And we did a lot of things together, and I don't want to lose her. Mm-hmm. But I think she doesn't really care about me anymore. She's very into materialistic and all these other things that I just don't want or have access to.
and she makes me feel some type of way about it. And I tell her things, like, I try to talk to her, like, the thing she's doing to me is draining. And, you know, I'm already going through things at home or just on my own, and I don't need her adding that to it.
Right, amen. That's right.
I can. Now, Miss Zoe wants to add something, but before she does, all the points she hit on there. Friends, so many topics. So-called friends, instead of pursuing what God calls you to do, actually wanting to try to hang on, try to pursue someone who doesn't want to pursue you or be with you. Or my youngest son, there is something that I told him once. And I told him, I said, sometimes, this is him, talking to him specifically, sometimes you work so hard to be accepted that you fail to realize that you are already acceptable. You just, did you hear her heart? This is a friend. I don't want to let go of this friend. And sometimes to pursue what God has for you, there are some associations you need to let go of. It's hard, though. Because did you hear what she said? She's invested. Friend for a long time. And when you're invested, and never let go of that heart, baby.
Amen. Yes.
You are not too forgiving. Yes. You'll wise up about how to knuckle up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yep. As we'll talk about shortly as we wrap up, God loves your heart.
Yes, he does.
We love that heart.
Amen.
Go ahead. Stand up. What you got to say, Zoe?
Okay. I have one more thing. Me and her are facial expressions. That's one thing that gets me and her in a lot of trouble. Okay, so, like, I'll just be, like, sitting in the class, you know, just chilling, you know? And the teacher look at me, or she'll tell me to do something, and my facial expression, I'll just be the same facial expression I just had. I'll do it, and then I'll sit down. Then she's like, oh, you have an attitude. Like, right then and there. And that, and then when I tell her I don't have an attitude, that just comes with more attitude. Because you're trying to tell me I don't have an attitude. You're trying to tell me I have an attitude. And I don't have an attitude. But now, because you're trying to tell me I have an attitude, now, yes, I have an attitude. Because.
Come on, be free. Amen.
But it's just like, trying to tell you I don't have attitude, and it's like, oh, they're demanding that I do have attitude. They're trying to tell me I have an attitude because I look like this. Like, and I could say that I do, my attitude, I need to work on that, but just me sitting in the class, I can't help the facial expressions I have on my face. I can't help it. It's just a natural thing, you know? Like,
it takes time.
And my body language also is... My dad, he something else. He don't know. But
yeah, that's just something I need to work on. That's one thing I think why I'm not chosen to do stuff, because of what other people, like teachers, adults, like other adults in my life, like, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, you have attitude. You have attitude right now. You have attitude. And, Mama, you too. But like, like she'll tell me to sweep or something. She know I don't like sweeping, so then she's like, "Oh yeah, you go sweep for the next month because you got this month, but you finna do it for the next month since you don't like doing it." But that's, I don't really have a problem with that because. You got to sweep because the floor be dirty. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. To tie that up, it's just like, it's just like sometimes people will put something on you so hard. They will put a personality on you so hard that sometimes you might even change to that person. Correct. When enough people says something about you, you're going to become that. If you keep hearing what people is telling you and not like... and not remembering like what God, who God told you that you are, you're going to turn into that person. Right. And, well, it happened to me, yeah. But I'm getting back. But still, yeah, you're going to turn into that person. Like, what she said, like, with the facial expressions. And, like, some of you in here is, like, always, like, oh, I haven't seen you smile. But it's okay, though. It's okay, because I understand you guys don't know how I am. But still, like, I'm smiling on the inside. I'm at church. Like, I'm smiling. But I'm smiling on the inside. But on the outside, yes. Probably not. But I am. So it's just like you have to tell people who you are and not let them tell you, yes, like who you are. Like, turn into it. So. Yes. Yes.
Are you learning anything?
Yes.
I'm not going to add anything to that either. Sometimes you become that person if you hear it enough. Don't let people tell you who you are. As we get ready to wrap up, we just talked about Moses, but we also talked about David. And we're just going to give you a highlight so you can see the scriptures that we went through, but then we're going to wrap up. Miss Michelle, if you will, turn us to the next image, please, really quick. And the discussion about David was basically, yeah, you're young, but being young is not a reason God can't call you.
Right.
And so just give them some highlights of the type of things that we talked to them about and that kind of thing through the scripture references. You can go to the next one.
So here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6, 7, 11, and 12, we kind of just went through the easy-to-read version with them. I'm going to go over the highlighted part, but of course, God's word is just good that we should always read his word to make sure that we're fully understanding what he's saying. But I'm going to go over the highlighted parts to kind of tie in with the children today. So people judge by what they see on the outside. If we look at verse 7, but the Lord looks at the heart. So that kind of goes back to what everyone was saying today is, you know, everybody's judging me in accordance to what I look like on the outside or what, you know, what is the perception of me, or why they think I'm not smiling, why they think I don't have joy, why am I feeling like I can't do what everybody else is doing? You know, this person speaks more eloquently than me. They can articulate better than me. But God, he looks at the heart. So for each and every one of you that are up here today, you know, God is looking at your heart. He's looking at this fearfully, wonderfully made Alexis, this fearfully, wonderfully made Victoria, this fearfully, wonderfully made Serena, this fearfully, wonderfully made Zoe, this fearfully, wonderfully made Zaria, this fearfully, wonderfully made Azacia. He looks at all of your heart. So no matter what the perception is, as we was telling them, of what it is, or, oh, I'm too young, I can't do this, or I'm the one that nobody looks at. I'm too short. I'm not tall enough. I'm too tall. I get judged accordingly to my height. But God is looking at you. He's looking at your heart. He's saying, my daughters on our stage today, you know, I love you. I called you. You're chosen by me. So make sure that we tell them, you know, be mindful of your thoughts, of the thoughts that God has towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. He has already given you all an expected end. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I know y'all hear us sing it all the time. You're Alpha and the Omega, but he truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. Amen. So that's the main goal of this series, is just identifying who you are in Christ. Who does God say I am? I am strong. I am bold. I am courageous. I am all the things that God says about me, because I have identity in this Christ. Hallelujah. So I have this that I want to kind of just quickly go over, just real fast. I'm looking at the time. Give me 1 second. Think about your labeling. What label do you all want to carry around? What label are you giving yourself? What label do you wake up saying every morning when you get up? You know, what, when you look in the mirror, because at the end of the day, guess what? That reflection is a reflection just of you. You can't look in the mirror and see me. You look in the mirror and you see yourself. But when you look in that mirror and you hear those thoughts, those inner things, like Zaria was saying, you know, those inner workings of that record that keeps playing, you're not good enough. You'll never have. You'll never excel. You'll never get what God wants for you, because I'm judging myself according to the new J's that somebody have on, or the designer clothing that somebody has on. But why? So I want you to think about that. Why am I judging myself according to what other people say instead of what God says? The one who knows the inner workings of me, the one who knows the beginning and the end of my life, who I can just go to freely because of Jesus, and just go to him and say, you know what, God? I don't like this. I don't like the perception of others, of what they have towards me, but I'm going to focus on what you are doing for me, what you have already done, because you've already done it all. His blood paid it all for all of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going to add
to that, Pastor?
Actually, I want us all to come, you to come down, okay. All of us, come join me down here, because we're going to close with this. One of the, you guys can, if you want to just stand up there, that's fine. One of the things that we started going into is, I don't know if you saw it. Can you go back one, the scripture? When she was summarizing the David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 16, down in the Message Bible, when Jesse was talking to Samuel about if he has any other sons, the other versions say that I have another son, but he's my youngest. The Message Bible says he uses the word the runt.
Right.
And we got on a discussion that's his daddy.
Right.
That's someone who's supposed to be the person you can run to. The person who's supposed to love you the most. The person who's supposed to, if you got tears, you can come in the arms of your father. Amen. But the reality is, sometimes some of the people who are closest to you can call you things that hurt. Yes. And I had not even realized that between Zoe and Zaria and Victoria, they were going to start hitting on that so hard, but the things that go into the ears of our young people can change their image they see in the mirror. Yes. So every adult in here, every adult that hears this under the sound of my voice, must realize that you are not free to say anything or say just anything to our children.
Amen.
You have the ability to, but don't you think you have the right to? Make sure that your words that you use are constructive. Because they're listening. They're precious life. They're smart. We concluded my time with them by saying some of the worst things that an adult can tell you is, you got to get in your word. I brought my Bible out. Look at this. You going to tell somebody in middle school and high school, you should just read your Bible. First of all, that something you ain't doing, but you should just read your Bible. And I told them, I say, adults will tell you to do something and realize that what they asking you to do just don't make no sense. I understand the purpose in telling you to read your Bible, but if you give them this, where do they go? Where do they go? Almost 800,000 words. Where do they go? And so what I shared with them is, if we were to do better by you, there are resources and materials that give topical context to the Bible.
Right.
That's a good starter.
Yes, amen.
And I took some pictures for you. That's why I had you guys down. Look at that next image. So moms and dads and guardians, instead of telling you, go read your word, there are books and resources that will break things down for you.
Yeah.
So like when you're angry, you can look up anger, and there are scriptures on anger. When you're scared, there's scriptures on fear. When you need courage. When you feel lonely. When you feel sad. When you're frustrated or depressed. Or you feel like you're in trouble. That's how we do better.
Yes.
By you.
Yes.
Instead of directing you just to the Bible.
Yes.
To actually give you things that help guide you through. And that's in addition to us being there for you and not being so saved that we can't talk to you about the real life you live in. Sometimes you just want to know what your daddy think.
Amen.
What your mama think. You don't want to hear what Joshua said.
Correct.
You don't want to hear what Jesus did. Sometimes you just want to hear, what do you think of me?
Yes.
And that's, I think you're wonderful. You're my seed. I love you. You're the most precious thing. Sometimes that's all that you want to hear, that I'm with you.
Yes.
You're not by yourself. And then we'll pray it out. Go ahead.
I want to add this final thought to all of you. And I want you all to charge us with this, just to kind of tie in what Pastor was saying. That God is always with you. You have a safe place for your answers and your guidance and to be encouraged and just to be loved on. So keep that in mind. So charge us with that because we are here for you. We want to see you be successful. We don't want you to go through what we have been through. You have the victory now. So walk in the victory right now. Walk in the infinitely more God that he is now. So we're going to equip you as much as we can. But if you need more, tell us. That's why we're here. Okay? Amen.
Before we pray, and while we pray, I'm going to ask Brittany, come up here for the prayer. You're a part of the class as well. I'm going to ask all of us, if you don't mind, to stand to your feet and give a great celebration and thanks for our middle schoolers and high schoolers sharing from their heart. Great, 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 great job. Great job. Come on, Miss Missy. I'm going to have you end this with a prayer. Realize what you heard was just a small part of two whole sessions. And just a small part has filled up a whole session here. Imagine if this were a recurring session to hear from their hearts. And we need to get them before you more, because I'm sure you learned. And if nothing resonated in you about why you don't pursue God's call for your life, you were not listening. You are not listening. Just like they're hearing, you're not too young. For some of us, it's the flip side. You think you're too old. But God is always looking for a willing vessel. Close this session with a prayer, please, ma'am.
God, we thank you for the youth. We thank you that they had a voice today, because without them, there wouldn't be a youth at all. We also thank you that they were brave enough to come on stage and talk to us about their problems, about what they're going through in life. We thank you for Pastor Benjamin for taking the time to listen to us and to them, because sometimes I feel like they do have a voice, but they're shy to say it.
Yes.
So I want to thank you all for being brave enough to come up here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining me on this journey. I am so glad you made the decision to come along. If this podcast was a blessing to you, please share it with someone. Allow their life to be enriched as well. To learn more about the ministry, go to www.revealingtruth.org. There you will find information concerning all of our other social media connections. Until next time, remember this: the truth has the power to make your life better, but it is the truth that you apply that actually gets the job done. So go out and apply the truth to your life today without delay. Chat with you soon.